Really appreciate it.
And to each of you, be turning, if you will, to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And once you get there, you will immediately recognize some things because of our Bible study. We'll begin our reading in verse 11 and culminate the reading in verse 15. Revelation's the 20th chapter. Verses 11 beginning. And I saw a great white throne and him that sit on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which was in them. And every man was judged according to his works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life were cast in the lake of fire. This brief narrative depicts the great and final day on this earth. And we see that John the Revelator, he corroborates some facts for us. Number one, on that great and that final day, Brother John says that this heaven and earth is going to pass away. Notice verse 11 again. And I saw a great white throne and him that sit on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 31, Brother Paul says, the fashion of this world passeth away. 1 John 2 and verse 17, and this world passeth away. This world is going to pass away according to what we read in the text set before us. You might even ask the question, what world? Well, the same world that Jesus said, heaven and earth, Matthew 24:35, is going to pass away on that great and that final day. Heaven and this earth is going to pass away. Now, when you add the word earth, that perhaps might present some difficulty for some people to believe. Well, let's call Brother Peter to the witness stand. And if you were to turn over there to 2 Peter 3, I believe Peter tells us what earth is being referred to in Revelation 20, verse number 11. In 2 Peter 3, verse 3 beginning, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. While by the word that then was being overflowed with water perish, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserving to fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, what? not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all conversation, holiness, all living, and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. That earth that Peter is talking about is the same one that is referred to in verses 5 and verse number 6, the one that stood in the water and out of the water. Peter makes a four-point reply in this particular narrative, and he shows us that he is trying to paint a picture on our mind what's going to happen on that great and final day. So he uses the flood of Noah's day to paint on our minds that picture of this last and final day. Now notice verse number 10. Verse number 10 clearly states that the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I'm telling you something, friend. On that great and that final day, this earth is going to be burned up. Now, since that is the case, we can make some logical deductions. There is no sense for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come back to this earth after some so-called rapture. I wonder why. Because Brother Peter says the earth is going to be burned up. We need not look for our Lord to come back to give the Jews in Palestine that Abrahamic promise in Genesis 12, 5 to 7. Because that promise has been fulfilled in Joshua chapter 21 and verse number 43 and 45. And I want you to add to that, Brother Peter says, this earth is going to be burned up. We need not look for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come back to this earth and establish his kingdom. It is established now, according to Hebrews 12 and verse 28. And I want you to add to what Peter says, this earth is going to be burned up. We need not look for our Lord the Savior to come back to Jerusalem to sit on David's throne, on David's literal throne of David. Number one, this earth is going to be burned up. Peter says, the earth and the world shall be burned up. And then secondly, notice our text. On that great and that final day, there is going to be a bodily resurrection. Notice verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead, which was in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead which was in them. Now you pay attention to this. On that, because implicitly, Brother John says, there's going to be a bodily resurrection. The sea gave up the dead which was in it. Now when death leaves the body goes back to the ground. The soul goes to the Hadean world. Acts 2, 27 to 31. What does the sea possess? Well, it doesn't possess the soul. Why would Brother John say is that the sea gave up the dead? You think about it. All of those people through the years of piracy, all of those people through the years of combat on water, all of those people that has lost their lives because of tidal waves and tsunamis and Katrina, all of those people who has been devoured by sharks and other type animals, barracudas and piranhas. There are so many that has made their grave in the sea. But Brother John says, the sea gave up the dead, which was in it. The sea does not possess the soul. The soul goes to that Hadean world. So it is implicitly implying a bodily resurrection. Notice something else. And death and Hades delivered up the dead, which was in it. The Hadean world is that intermediate state. Disembodied spirits. It's that state between the judgment and death. But death is going to be one day abolished. Not only does our text implies a bodily resurrection, but notice verse 13. Not only the sea gave up the dead which was in it, death and Hades delivered up the dead which was in them. But notice, death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. Now notice that carefully. Because Paul says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the church of Christ to God. For he must reign until he put out all rule, all authority and might. That last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. After death, you're dealing with eternity. And if there's not going to be any more dying, there will be no need for the Hadean world. Because the Hadean world is where people go. It's that intermediate state. Two compartments, yes. Tartarus, 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. And Abraham's bosom. Tartarus, that place of punishment. Paradise, Abraham's bosom. Once that great and that final day comes, there's not going to be any more dying. And since there's not going to be any more dying, there's not going to be any need for the Hadean world. Not only that, our text shows us some other things. On that great and that final day, not only heaven and earth, number one, is going to pass away. Not only that, there's going to be a bodily resurrection. And not only that, the Hadean world will be cast in the lake of fire. That's Gehenna. That's that second death. But also, our text shows us on that great and that final day, there is going to be a judgment. Notice it with me carefully. And I saw a great white throne and him that sit on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. Now notice the next verse, because the next verse gives us four delightful dimensions. The next verse tells us who is going to be judged. It also tells us who is going to be the judge. It also tells us what is going to be the criteria in the judgment. And it also tells us by what will man be judged. Now, let's look at it. Who will be judged? I saw the dead, small and great. Everybody's going to be judged. In Matthew 25, 31 and 46, Matthew says, all nations shall be there, small and great. Who's going to be doing the judging? Notice what the text says. They're going to stand before God. What's going to be the criteria in the judgment? Brother John said the books are going to be open. by which what we will be judged. John says every man is going to be judged according to his works. The verse shows us who is going to be judged. All men. Let marriage be had in honor among all. Marriage be it undefiled. Homemongers and adulterers. God will judge. All men is going to be judged. What's going to be the criteria? The books are going to be open. One book that's going to be open is the book of deeds. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body. We're going to be judged according to our works. Matthew 16 and verse 27. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory as his Father with his angels, and he shall judge every man according to his works. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 and 14, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. We're going to be judged according to our works. And the criteria is going to be the B-I-B-L-E, the standard by which we'll be going to be judged. The book of deeds and then the Bible. That's why Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same is going to judge us in the last day. We're going to be judged by the gospel Paul preached in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. All men are going to be judged. And the standard is going to be this right here. Not only that, our text shows us with that book of life on that great and that final day, we're going to be dealing not with time, but eternity. Notice the record. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Paul tells us that those that has not been obedient to God's will and those that have been obedient to God's will but not lived by God's will, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. In Revelation 14, 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are they that die in harmony with God's will. That's what that in the Lord, that means. It certainly doesn't mean everybody that's a member of the church going to heaven. That's not what that passage is teaching. A person must die in harmony with God's will. Yea, the Holy Spirit says. They shall rest from their labors. And their good works do follow them. Those that are not found or leave this old earth not living in harmony with God's will, there's going to be that separation day. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in Gehenna into the lake of fire. What a day that's going to be. The lake of fire hell is a place of everlasting fire. Don't be lost and miss that place and make that place your home. It's a place of flaming fire. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. And to you, her trouble rests with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance on them that know not God, them that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hell is a place that is a furnace of fire. Matthew 12 and verse number 42. Hell is a place of unquenchable fire. Mark 9 and verse 43. Hell is a place where men are baptized in fire. Matthew 3, verses 11 and 12. What a place that is. Hell is a place of anguish. Romans 2, verses 8 and 9. Hell is a place of torment. Ask that rich man in Luke 16, 19 to 31. Hell is a place of sorrow. Psalms 18. Hell is a place of darkness. You think about that, friend. How can it be dark in hell if there's going to be fire there? Well, even scientists in laboratories have discovered fire that is not luminescent. But you think about that. Hell is a place of darkness. Darkness has a way to unease people. Because when you can't see, you rely on your hearing. If all of these lights were turned out in here, and no lights at all around, it sure enough would be dark. It sure enough would be silent in here, wouldn't it? Because darkness has a way of uneasing people. You can't see, you rely on your hearing. That's the reason why Mark 9, verses 43 to 48, and Matthew 25 and verse 30 says, hell is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's dark. You can't see, but you can hear. Before anesthesia, when there was going to be a bone that was going to be amputated, you know the old story how they would take a piece of wood and put in that person's mouth and saw that arm or saw that leg off. And you can hear the gnashing of those teeth. In this imagery, the inspired writers is trying to give us a glimpse of what hell is going to be like. Don't be lost. There are places that we'll go in the daytime, but won't go at night. Think about a cemetery. Darkness has a way of uneasing people. And the imagery is showing us that hell is a place of darkness. But you can hear the weeping. You can hear the gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of eternity. The old illustration that's always used to try to paint on our minds about that one Old Testament word in Isaiah 57, how God inhabits eternity. Not time, but eternity. Hell is a place of eternal punishment. How long is that? I'll tell you what you do. You empty the longest, largest body of water known to man. Empty that. I'm talking about that body of water that runs from North, South America, westward, all the way through Asia, all the way to Australia. Empty that body of water. You will have a hole in the earth that's beyond imagination. And once you empty that body of water, fill it back up with sand. And not only fill it up level to the belly, but fill it up as high as that mountain is that sits between Tibet and Nepal. Fill it back up high as that mountain. You ought to have a good grasp. I'm talking about the what? Mount Everest, the tallest mountain and the largest body of water is that not Indian Ocean or Antarctic, not even the one that they are searching for that plane, the Indian Ocean, but the Pacific. You would have a sand pile beyond imagination. And what you do, you take a bird and allow that bird to take 1 grain of sand for the time that history had been on this earth, 6,000 years. And if that bird can empty that ocean again, I don't even know if we have a mathematical figure to categorize what I'm saying. But I want to tell you something. When that bird emptied that ocean again, eternity will have just begun. Hell is a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. That's when you'll be dealing with eternity. Don't be lost tonight. Don't wind up in that horrible place. Oftentimes people say it's 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, even 100 years. That's a good life. I'll take 70 years right now and wouldn't even argue about it. But you put 70 years, put 80 years, put 90 years, put 100 years on the side of eternity and see what you have. You was not, your soul was not created for time, neighbor. It was created for eternity. And what's the use of living 80 years? If it's a wasted 80 years, don't be lost tonight. Don't wind up in that horrible place. You know, when we look at the obituary columns and funeral programs of that deceased one, that is something that is often emphasized. Date of birth, then you got this long dash, date of death. Let me just relocate the dash for you tonight. The date of your spiritual birth, dash, to the date of your death. It's all about that dash. I'm telling all of us tonight, you better have something to put in that dash. You can't take sports up in front of God in that dash. You had better have something spiritually to put in that dash. It's all about that dash. Don't be lost tonight. You know, the average age of a man, 73, average age of a woman, 79. This is your assignment. If you are over 50 years old, you pass middle age. Oh, yes, you are. Don't sit there and fool yourself. If you're like me, and I'll be careful here because I don't need you to be trying to figure out how old I am. But if you're like me, you got more days behind you than you got in front. Oh, yes, you have. As a matter of fact, if you are 40, because the average age, woman, 79, average age man, 73. But notice the exercise. Take how old you are now and subtract that from 79 if you're a woman, and from 73 if you're a man. Now, if you come up with the negative, you know where you stand, don't you? But that's going to give you how many years you have left. Now, if you got a negative, that means you don't have any left. Amen. And then those years you have left, I want you to multiply that by 365. And that's going to give you how many days you got left. Because after all, the psalmist say our days are numbered. You know, the Lord promised you 70 and if by reason of health, they be 80. And this is what I want you to do. The days that you have left, you get you some 8.5 by 12 paper. And you write all of those days down. Then what you do, you get you a pair of scissors and cut those squares out and stack them right in front of that beautiful vanity in front of your bed. Now, some of our stacks are going to be higher, young people, but then some of our stacks are going to be lower, senior citizens. And every day you wake up, you take one of those slips of piece of paper and you grab it, you ball it up and throw it in the trash can. And that little exercise, neighbor, it will show us time is running out. Time is running out. If there is something you need to do, you better try to get around to doing it. The hourglass is running out. The sand at the hourglass. Time is ticking. Don't be lost tonight. If you're not a Christian, don't be lost tonight. I know it takes courage to take a stand for the Lord. But heaven will be worth it all. Heaven is going to last just as long as hell going to last. Don't be lost tonight. Why not obey the gospel tonight? If you have not been living according to New Testament teaching, if you have been slothful in your work ethic, don't be lost tonight. You're going to be judged according to your works. If you've been unconcerned, slack in your attendance. You're going to have to make that correction. Don't be lost tonight. If your behavior has been such, if your attitude has been such, don't be lost tonight. If you die right now, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Would you? You can't go to both places. You can't go to heaven and hell. The world has made the word hell out of a joke, and the rest of them has made it out of a curse word. But hell is real. It's a horrible place. Hell is a place of filth. Revelation 21 and verse 7 and 8. Don't be lost. If you need to respond and be baptized, if you need to repent of sins, if you need to beg somebody's pardon tonight, if you need to hug somebody's neck tonight, you need to do it. While we sing, won't you come?